Greetings, Earthlings! Welcome to the Beyond the Tinfoil Hat, a podcast by the Experiencer Support Association. I'm your host, Jamie Delzell, and I want you to join us for a trip down another rabbit hole where we find all kinds of unusual and unexplained phenomena. Remember, the first 30 minutes of the show is absolutely free and available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. Head over to Patreon and catch 30 minutes and beyond of extra audio as we dive even further into today's topics, exclusively for our subscribed fans with top secret clearance. Now let's dive right in. Hey, everybody. What's up? We are here with Ray Stantz. welcome to Beyond the Tinfoil Hat. As always, here with Mr. Ryan Stacey, our bankman tonight. And our special guest. Oh, wait, what's that there, Ghostbuster Man?
I'm a mix of all three. I am Vankman shirt. I got the Stance goggles, and I got the Spangler hair. I'm all three.
Nice mix. And we have a very special guest tonight, Mr. Delroy Siblis Jr. Hello, sir.
Good day. Good night.
Good night. Welcome to the show. So I'll let Ryan kind of introduce you and talk a bit about some stuff and bring up some questions, because I'm excited to learn more, and we've had a little chat before, but excited to learn more about you.
So Delroy is a radio DJ and a logistics manager for Life Online Radio Station, and he has been a Freemason since 2003. He sat in the East as a master of his lodge since 2015 and continued his journey in York Rite and Shriners. Is that correct? Is that right?
Yes, I did. So
in this episode, we want to dive into secret societies, Freemasonry, alchemy, and mysticism, if we can. Delroy and I actually are part of, what is that? SRIA, right?
Rosicrucian,
yes. Yeah, the Rosicrucian. So Delroy and I are brothers in that. And I guess we're all brothers too, because Jamie is a first degree as well.
Oh, nice.
In Heronia, yeah. So
welcome. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
Nice.
So why don't we talk about, I guess the first question I have is, why don't you tell us about your radio station?
Pardon?
Let's talk about your radio station.
Oh, sorry. Yes, my radio station. Yes, I joined up with this radio station called Life Online Radio Station here in online station, but we're based out of Manitoulin Island, and we're trying to do a different way of delivering music and entertainment. So we have a broad array of topics. So we do jazz, we have reggae, we have Afrobeats, we have hip hop, we have documentaries, we have comedies, we do comedies as well, and you know, something different. And it's been going great so far and learning along. I have a lot of music, so I'm a DJ at art, so you know, that came natural. But our radio station, and we do interviews, so. Next, we probably get you guys to do an interview in the next couple of weeks. Yeah,
that'd awesome. Be awesome. Thank you for that.
Definitely.
Right on. So, how about, let's talk about Freemasonry then. How did you get involved in Masonry?
Well, you know, Freemasonry, I think I first got interested, believe it or not, in church, learning about King Solomon and the temple, and you know. About Jesus and all, you know. So I said, always see this thing pops up in the Bible about the mystery schools, you know. And I was like, mystery schools. And then I looked up, and then I saw that you have different, you know, mystery schools in the past. And did furthermore investigation. I found out I have relatives that were all Masons back home, you know. both Eastern Star and Freemasonry. So then I got more you know, in tune. And I give you a joke. The first time when I came to Canada, I wanted to join a lodge, and I went out and went online and applied to the College of Freemasonry. He thought it was a school.
Okay. Yeah.
Nice. They wrote me back and they told me you cannot join the lodge unless you join the College of Freemasonry, unless you are you're part of a lodge. And then I was like, oh, okay. So I, you know, I inquired more and I contacted a lodge online, which is online has been good for Masonry. And I went to a couple of introduction back in Toronto there in Annette Street. I went to a lodge there and I was supposed to get in. I was too young though. I was about 22. And they told me to wait. So in that process, I moved to Brampton. Then after moving to Brampton, I got involved in Masonry, met a couple of guys, very good lodge, Flower City Lodge, and been doing some, it's a mixed lodge of, you know, people from different backgrounds, you know, like all immigrants, mostly immigrants, but we also have local guys as well. But I was comfortable there, and, you know, I started my journey as a tag-along. So I had to visit first, meet a couple of the guys, and then started my process and initiated. I was initiated in 2003. I got my first 2 degrees in 2003. And then 2004, I became a Master Mason, and then I started a long journey. People think it's like a regular social club. No, it's a... We're builders of men, you know, builders of intellect, builders of attitudes. A lot of process. I went through those couple of years to.
And then you went over to York, right?
Yes, went over to York, right? I went all the way to the third. Which one is that thing?
A Templar.
No, didn't make the Templar. I think I did the first row.
Royal Arch Mason.
Royal Arch. Yeah. So I haven't. It's in the future, but I'm thinking about, you know, when I have the time, because it's, you know, it's time consuming, and you want to put your best. You know, you want to enjoy your journey. So I haven't stepped to those other steps as yet as a Templar, but in the making.
So thank you for sharing that. And then I guess for the purpose of this theme or this episode, because it's beyond the tinfoil hat, and we're all Masons in the sense. So let's talk about the possibility of this secret society being a, how close is it to being a bloodthirsty, murderous cult, as everyone thinks it is to be?
No way.
How many goats have we sacrificed?
I'm an esoteric Christian, so I would never have been a part of anything like that. So
yeah,
it's mostly Masonry is a never ending learning, and we learn a lot through symbols and everyday experiences. So it has nothing to do with any that. Yeah, we could talk about some people like, you have people like that in the world, but not in Masonry.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you think there are some people that think we do that?
Well, you know, it started from competition. You know, we had a lot of competition in the past from the days of old, you know, with Templars, which I'm seeking to learn. So I can't speak too much on that, but I know I read a little bit to know that it's a bit of grudge to see that a set of men could come together and keep a secret and, you know, keep that tradition going for years. So I think it's a bit of grudge and a bit of propaganda, you know, people trying to steer away people from, you know, learning what they want, that they don't know. The moment you hide something from someone, they think it's, you're up to no good. So.
But what are we hiding, though? What exactly is it we're hiding?
Nothing. Everything is
right. That's the point. We're hiding absolutely nothing. They think we have the answers to everything. We think they think we know that the earth is flat.
We're still learning everything. We're still learning because we, you know, not until we do it physically, you will never, we'll never know. Not until we journey up there to the Arctic and look, go in a plane and travel the surface of the earth, we'll never know. We could just go by what they tell us, you know, or what they, you know. So it's always that in between aspect of it. So we have to just think logically and speculate. All we do is speculate.
Mm-hmm. Very true. How
do you, what do you like about the Shriners then? Because you're also a Shriner too, right?
Yes, I'm also a Shriner. I haven't been as active, but what led me to the Shriners is the good deeds they have been doing over the years, you know, helping kids in the hospital, burn victims, mm-hmm. any aspect of helping the kids, you know, or even they even have some hospital for even older people as well, you know. I heard cases that some members from different countries go to Montreal to get treatment, you know, so it's mm-hmm. It's doing a lot of good, you know, especially in that aspect.
Right on.
I haven't fully enjoyed Shriners yet, so not until I have the time, you know. It takes time, and
mm-hmm. I haven't done Shriners yet. Have you done Scottish Rite? Have you done Scottish Rite or no?
No, that's the next journey I need to take as well.
If you need a sponsor, I know a guy.
Okay. Alrighty, definitely. Yeah. So I'll give it about next couple of, you know, when everything back to normal, next year, you know, I continue my journey because it's halfway and it's a continuous journey. It's never ending in our quest, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Never
in this. Jamie, do you have anything to add or any questions?
None that I can think of. No, I just like you said, I'm super interested in the whole thing. Like I said, I'm very, very new in the process. I was just supposed to go for my second degree right before COVID hit, and obviously everything was kind of put on hold there. But yeah, it's just like to me, and what I know about it, it's just a brotherhood, right? And just you know, just a lot of people just.
Yes. So we meet on the level. Everybody is equal.
So you had mentioned Eastern Star as well. So just for our female listeners, the Order of the Eastern Star is a detachment for females as well. It's not only for men, but there's a female unit as well. It's just a little bit of.
Yes, if you're a relative or
what. We actually have a question. So Alicia Atayo says, so a Freemason, you are born into it, correct? So as a Freemason. So do you want to answer that? Are we born into Freemasonry?
Well, that's a question that hits me sometime as well. And that I think, you know, because it was in my family, I definitely, it's in the DNA, but... No, because I've known friends that haven't had any family that was Freemasonry. Yeah, that wasn't Freemasonry, you know.
So I can elaborate on that. So to become a Freemason, it basically is ask one to be one. Traditionally, if your father was a Mason or your grandfather was a Mason, you want to follow that lineage. For me, the only Mason that I can find in my family is way back in the French Renaissance. Like, I mean, way, way back in the day, and he wasn't a liked guy, so I don't want to bring that up, but that's the only relative blood that I have. But you just basically have to ask one to be one. And within the female fraternity, you just have to be married to one. So it's I guess what we do, it's a philanthropist thing. We go out and do charity things, but we do receive a lot of lectures about... philosophy in the sense of consciousness. I believe that everything is like meditation and things like that too. Because I'm gonna kind of segue into the next question here. Marley Diamond asks, "Hello, do Freemasons believe or in contact with intergalactic beings?" So that's like right up there in this beyond the tinfoil hat.
Yeah.
So what do you think, Delroy? Like Freemasons on a whole, can we say anything?
Well,
they're secret.
I would have to be a bit. That's a very nice. That's a very revealing kind of question. But it's open. It's a learning experience. But mm-hmm. I haven't encountered any of that aspect as yet. Maybe is, maybe there isn't. But we don't tend to focus on this. It's I think that's a personal goal. It's not on a whole like the whole fraternity.
So no, that's a tough question. I can handle this one, because like, so to be a Mason, you just have to believe in a higher power. So I know it's hard to take me serious with this get up right now, but like it's always hard to take me serious. But as long as you believe in something above you or better than you, it keeps you humble. If you want to believe in intergalactic beings, if you want to believe in aliens or interdimensional species, that you're not removed from that belief, because it's technically, if that's your God, then that's acceptable. So do Freemasons believe in contact with intergalactic beings? All of them, I can't say. I can say that I believe in intergalactic beings, and I'm a Mason. So it, you know, like, and for me, my higher power that I believe into does come from extraterrestrial origins. That is my belief. That is my religion. I don't, so I mean, I guess it's interpreted as, but the interesting thing is with the lectures and everything that we learn, going through degrees is self-learning. Jamie, I don't want to say too much because Jamie's only first degree. But through the first degree, for a recap for him, is it was basically entering as you are to kind of realize what you're about to become. So there's a lot of philosophical things to change your character. But while you're going through the lectures, you're often called upon to think about your God. And if that God happens to be alien, that God could be Satan. But the interesting thing is through, I guess, through the thinking of your higher power, you're asked to do positive things, right? So what's interesting is when they have that satanic connection, well, you actually can believe in Satan and be a Freemason. But the thing is you would have to believe that Satan does good. And then there's another conspiracy or kind of, because I believe that in the Sumerian, ancient Sumerian civilization part where the roles are flipped, and we're in a rabbit hole. Sorry.
That's quick.
That was, yeah, sorry. So, okay. Alicia pops in, says, "I've listened to some crazy stories from my husband. He works with a few Masons, very secret. I've also listened to some very scary podcasts with regards to Masonry, New World Order, NWO, Vatican, etc. What is your take on that?" Delroy, you want to go first?
Oh, the take on there are different secret orders. I can't say what they do, you know, because I'll be doing the same thing as what they, what people look at us as. But I hope they doing. They're meeting this for the best, but I can't say because I haven't been in none of those except Freemason. I know Freemason, we try to have a moral standard.
More of a positive outlook too. So where the scariness comes from would be essentially that people who are Masons doing bad or what's perceived as horrible things. So you got to remember, just because we're part of a brotherhood, because we're part of this group, we're part of this church or whatever, even if you're part of a church, for an example, if you do something that's perceived as a negative, they often associate that with Freemasonry because we keep secrets. But the secrets, there are no secrets, because the reason why we have secrets, I guess, and again, I know that's confusing, but there's no actual secrets being told to us. The secrets are actually inside of us, meaning that when the lectures are explained to us and we're listening like this big elaborate theatrical horoscope where we're actually thinking about ourselves, the secrets are actually how you really feel internally, which through consciousness into your heart and then your mind, your body, soul, all that other stuff is relatively there through lectures. And the point of that is for you to think really deep about who you are and what you intend, who you've been and what you intend to be better. What we do is we take good people and make them better. Now, that doesn't mean that the human being that is trying to live a positive life makes a mistake.
Yes.
As an example, Paul Bernardo was a Freemason and he did very bad things, but that was a mental health issue. It was a concern. And that actually created a lot of negative press towards Freemasonry because he was part of a secret society, quote unquote, secret society. So therefore connections were made, but he just made a mistake. He did some very, you know, horrible things, but the association was made. And then they later coined that the Illuminati. So Illuminati is technically Freemasonry as well, which just basically means illumination, which is light, which is positive. But mainstream media associates Illuminati with the presidents of the United States and all these other things because the perception of them doing bad things, meaning they belong to this secret fear of the unknown, this secret group, and they do bad things, and they think that it's part of the shadow government and all this other thing. So just to backpedal a little bit, I am a 32nd degree Freemason, Scottish Rite. I am a Royal Archmason in York Rite. I am a junior warden in my lodge. 3 years I'll be sitting in the East. I'm active. I've done so many things in Freemasonry. I've sponsored so many people. I talk about it all the time. And not once have I ever been led to do anything negative. Not once have I drank from a skull full of blood. Not once. Now, there's still one more degree, that magical 33rd degree. And we always joke that 33 is when we learn about the aliens. But... we're not there yet. There's still one more. But so again, it's perception. And we got to remember that we're and that take Freemasonry and replace that with a soccer club, you know, the referee does something very bad with children, you know, and therefore soccer clubs are bad for everybody in the entire world. You know, like it's just like that. There are no bad things in Freemasonry. There's just bad decisions. But the reason why we're part of the group in the first place is for that bond, for that helping, that communicative place to fit, because we don't have to identify a God. And that's what's important is it doesn't matter if you're Christian, doesn't matter if you're Muslim, it doesn't matter if you're Jewish, it doesn't matter if you believe in Satan, because we don't ask what your God is. We just want to make sure that you're humble enough to know that somebody is up there watching what you're doing, and you want to live a positive life to improve your way of living.
Most definitely.
And if you believe in Satan and you live that life, then Satan's obviously not a bad guy. Right? Why does he punish people that do evil things? That don't make sense. Sounds like he's working for God. You know? So, yeah.
Yeah, that's the next topic, brother. It's
there you go.
The next topic.
Okay, well, let's talk about it. Well, okay, let's finish up with Alicia here. So she said, a higher power, one lady's podcast, she had escaped the Vatican, but she was a teacher, would go to military bases and basically brainwash kids, retrain their brains, if you will. Now we're talking about that's
deep
state government stuff. Okay, so you got a choice there, Delroy. Door number one, we talk about Satanism, or door number two, we talk about MK Ultra, which is basically
yes. Okay, we're gonna talk about that's a very interesting question, and I've read a couple of real life real events, you know, that you have certain groups within certain orders within the Vatican, you know, that I don't want to say cause any problem, but I know there's some societies, you know, we don't want to put, but there has been stuff has been told about that, those events going on where brainwashing and changing of events and all of that, you know. So but I don't want to.
The Vatican isn't Freemason, though. The Vatican is like, so there's the other, there's also Knights of Columbus, which is the Christian view. You know, the ones that wear the silly hats.
Yeah, where... and then the Jesuits. You know, right. The Jesuits?
Yeah.
Because question, she said it was pertaining to the Vatican. So, you know, we can leave that alone. We're not going to talk.
So the Vatican on its own has its own bit of secrets, which they're basically keeping an archive of information from everybody. Masons may have access to the information, the higher ones, but, you know, we don't at this, you know, at this level, but it's not about that. So that's a whole different lie altogether. You know, the shape of the earth is in there. You know.
Oh, speaking of the shape of the earth, Lisa has confirmed that it is not flat. So thank you, Lisa. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Lisa. Did you watch the episode last night? 3-hour episode where we debated the shape of the earth.
Wasn't much of a debate.
I tried real hard. So Marley says, thank you. Very interesting talk. Thank you.
Get to Marsha there.
And Marsha says, can the average person walk up to a Freemason lodge and ask to join the organization?
Yeah. I would have showed up. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yes. And no.
Yes. Yes.
Because
depending on the background, you know.
Yeah, it depends. It depends on when you do it. So, you want to take it? Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's my sister. I like to say, so don't you, sis.
Oh, that's your sister. Hello. Yeah. So does she know the answer to this? Is she setting you up right now, or she?
No, she doesn't know. She doesn't know.
Okay. There you go.
Go ahead. You can go ahead.
Okay, so nice to meet you, Marsha. I know your brother very well. He's a great guy. So you can approach any lodge. You just will not know when the lodge meets because our meetings are done in secret. So we receive summons and we all communicate once you're brought into the lodge. All that stuff is revealed to you when we meet. So if you happen to show up to the lodge 9 times out of 10, no one will be there. But if you happen to be there on the night the lodge is happening, you could be greeted by what's called an inner guard or outer guard, pardon me, which I don't know if we can say this, but he would be drawn with a sword.
Yeah. You know what? It's best to come in.
It seems intimidating, but he would greet you kindly and say, and give you information and say, you know, here's where you can learn. Here's where you can contact, but you can't come in right now because we're in the middle of a meeting. So you could do that. I would not recommend it because your interpretation of us in full meeting mode will be very confusing and very surprising. But you could go to the website and you can ask for an invitation at any time, and then they'll meet with you and then they'll bring you in.
Delroy's got something.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. You know, we had an experience with a guy when I was...
did you?
Yeah, I had an experience. I was... Yeah, but they just... hang around and, you know, ask questions. And I told him to go into the ante room to relax.
Yeah.
And, yeah, into the banquet hall to relax, you know. So
okay.
We talked to him after the meeting. So, you know, so people can come in. You know, no matter of fact, I walked up in a lodge.
Did you?
Before I was initiated. But there was a thing. They were in the ante room, you know, so I didn't go when... it was in session, like go straight inside, you know. So, you know, it's different ways of expressing that question.
So that scenario that I explained was something that happened to me, because when I was in Peterborough in college, there was a Peterborough Lodge, Nichols Lodge. There's security cameras all over the place, and this big, beautiful, elaborate thing. This was before I became a Mason, I knocked on the door almost every day because when I walked my walk from college to where I was staying.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day the parking lot was full. It happened to be 7 o'clock at night. It was just the right time. So, you know, I go and knock on the door, but the door was open, right? Because they're expecting brothers to walk in, right? Lodge was in meeting. I go upstairs and all these other things, and there's that guy standing there with this sword saying, you know, and I'm, you know, who comes here, you know? So,
yeah, that's different. My
experience, because I was like, yo, I'm sorry. That's not where I parked my car. That's not where I parked my car.
Yeah, but yeah, people can come into the lodge and act if they want to, you know, like the you know, whenever there's not a ritual going on, you know?
Right?
You can't come into a ritual.
Well, we got another little message from Alicia, and then we're gonna hit the commercial.
Oh. Yeah,
thank you.
You're welcome. So Alicia says, yes, okay, so this is what I was trying to get at with the lady from the Vatican with Masons, etc. She was saying with meetings, there would be guards at, say, 6'3", etc. She said if anything was off to them, the place would be cleared out within seconds. So she's talking about the actual guards guarding the Vatican.
Oh, yes, yes. You don't play with those guards at the Vatican. They're
actually military soldiers. Like they're soldiers of the church. They're guarding the truth, I guess.
And Vatican is a city by itself. You know, you mm-hmm. need a visa.
Yeah,
that's true. They police it and everything. Yeah. All right, so that was fun. That was interesting.
It's great.
So we're gonna take a 5-minute break and we'll be back.
Okay, ready.
We are the ones in the dark. We are the first on the scene. We are the last to leave. We will counsel you. We will comfort you. We will save your life. We are the unsung. We are the underdogs.
Hi there, this is Dave Scott from Spaced Out Radio, where together, my friends, we own the night. On our website, spacedoutradio.com, we have a place called the SOR Sightlines Report. All of our investigations and people who inquire are turned over to TESA, the Experiencer Support Association. Ryan Stacey and his crew, what I like about them, they're independent. They're not working for anybody, and they want answers. We want answers for our listeners and people who inquire as well about their experiences. It's a great tandem, and we love being teamed up with TESA. If you haven't heard of us before, that's okay. We'd love to earn your listening ears. Join us 9:06 Pacific Time, 12:06 a.m. Eastern for 3 hours of live entertainment 7 days a week.
Hi, this is Ernie Hudson, Winston Zedmore from Ghostbusters. I want to let you know that Ryan Stacey, he's created the Experiencer Support Association, TESA. You can check them out at www.tesacan.org. Now, they investigate paranormal, UFO, and provide support to experiencers. You can check them out at, like I said, www.tesacan.org and see for yourself if they're really Ghostbusters. I can tell you this, they are a non-profit organization. So good luck, have fun, and keep on busting.
Have you ever wondered if there were others just like you? People with extraordinary abilities and unique intuitions. People who experience unusual and paranormal events. People who have more questions than answers. You are not alone. Experiencers Anonymous. Visit tessacan.org.
We're back.
Well, we're back.
Two of us are back.
I guess we lost Delroy.
Delroy, where'd you go?
Well, dude, so what do you want?
Well, oh, there he
is. Welcome back.
Two of us are back.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi there.
Oh, that was a good break. Fun stuff.
So, and Alicia made another comment while we were on break. So she was actually referring to the guards at their homes. I missed that. So that kind of changes things a little bit, having the guards placed at their homes.
At whose home?
Well, the lady that she was talking about earlier.
Oh, I see.
So it wasn't actually at, like, trying to go into the church, it was or the Vatican, it was at their home.
Huh.
So maybe, I don't know. We have to go to Vatican and find out. Let's try to break in.
Yeah, you go. Hey, man, Delroy left us.
Uh-oh, something happened.
Uh-oh.
Well.
Cool. Well, I'm sure he'll be back, I hope. Let's, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Otherwise, well, hey, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, Marcia. If you can message your brother, let him know that
he's gone. Tell him to come back. Well, on that note, since there's just two of us, Halloween is coming, mm-hmm. and we haven't really hyped the show enough that Haunted Heronia episode X will be airing for the first time ever live 10 p.m. on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
the introduction of Ryan Stacey into the mix of things.
I hope I did okay. Was I wearing pants?
You were wearing pants for the most part. hey, there he is. Delroy's back.
So yes, check that out. That's okay. Just to finish on what Jamie was saying, check that out on YouTube. Haunted Heronia.
We will put the link on Beyond the Tinfoil Hat site on my Facebook page.
Are you doing a premiere?
Premiere. The premiere will be it's the world premiere.
So like the YouTube premiere. Like, is it like that set up?
Yeah, man.
What time? 10 o'clock.
10 p.m. on Halloween night.
Well, I'll be there. So, but if I'm not there, I'll still be there.
Okay. So no, there's only been three people in the world who have seen this episode so far, and that is myself, Nate, who made it, and Deanna.
Right on.
And he probably has tweaked some things since we've seen it. So exciting.
That's awesome.
Awesome, definitely.
Delroy, welcome back.
Yes, sir. Seems like the mystics have had me in a vortex.
You mentioned that before we went on, actually, that you always got some kind of technical issue going on.
Yes, man. It's been going up since the start of this month. All my devices, audios, has just been intercepted, man.
That's interesting. What are you doing? Are you doing some alchemy in your basement?
Oh, alchemy. Yeah, I do a little bit of alchemy, but it's all for the body, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, you gotta make that exler to keep the body in shape, you know?
Okay.
That's what alchemy is, you know? Anything mm-hmm. that you can process, your food, what you drink, you know, that's alchemy.
Okay.
Well, let's get into that a bit.
Alchemy, I started, you know, as a Rosicrucian. That's also a subject, right, Ryan?
Yep, that's right.
So we always try to energize our food. And, you know, certain process that you have to go meditate, keep your spirit strong, especially in these times, you know, every mm-hmm. day. Every day you have to do a form of meditation and proper process of food. Try to monitor your body with pain, you know, because, you know, sometimes our body is exposed to so much radiation nowadays, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So go one away.
One of the most common notations of alchemy is the Philosopher's Stone, turning any metal into gold. And that story tends to be portrayed as magic or
wizardry.
Wizardry, but really, as you explained in modern terms, all we're doing is changing the what's the best way to do it? Like when you add baking soda to your coffee in order to deionize the coffee, that's actually alchemy. So whenever you're changing the molecular structure of something you're about to consume or do, that's alchemy. It's magic because people didn't understand how putting your cup on a rune stone how the stone itself would generize and add, you know, electrons into the water, you know. So like that's alchemy. So that's my explanation for alchemy.
That's perfect explanation, brother.
We can also take that the wrong way by using the same information to make poisons and concoctions and things like that. That's just bad behavior, but it's also alchemy.
it's a different art.
Yeah. Making meth from everything under your kitchen sink, that is alchemy.
That's true.
So just to kind of tie into the concept we were talking about earlier, is taking the concept, taking the idea and using and doing something good versus taking the idea and doing something bad with it. And where the teaching happens, it's always done in a neutral, positive way. But if somebody were to have a negative approach to the same concept, that's where it gets out of hand. That's where the Illuminati comes in, is they're doing, instead of encouraging people, they're manipulating people. Instead of saving people, they're hurting people. You know, sorry. Right, we're on Beyond the Tinfoil Hat. We just, this stuff comes in and I gotta vomit it out.
That you do.
It's entertaining. It's good.
Nice.
All right. Awesome. Well, you guys were talking about paranormal while I was away before we started. Why don't you fill me in on what you guys were chatting about, and let's talk about that.
Oh, yes. I was talking about certain areas in where I grew up, back home in Jamaica. Lots of paranormal activities, you know, with... we had a city in Kingston called Port Royal. It was sunk in the 18th centuries. And if you imagine the amount of paranormal activities that's there, when you go there, you just feel it brushing by you, you know? You can feel that shadow and that misery sometimes, you know, but it's also an eerie place, you know? And that's some of the closest encounters that's one place that some of the closest encounters of, you know, the shadows and extracurriculars.
You saw shadows there?
No, you feel a presence. You can feel that presence. You know, sometimes your energy, you can feel a certain presence that passes by. You know, okay. Over there it's full. You know, I haven't...
Positive or negative? Like, how does the energy feel?
You know what? It didn't... It's just... negative, like a little bit of misery, but it's not too much. It's a little bit and it just passed by, so you feel a bit off, you know. So those are, you know, one day we could do a show. We could go to Jamaica and do a show from there.
Count me in, man.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'll meet you there. We'll get on the first plane and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, as soon as we're allowed to fly.
So what's interesting about that is, in the Caribbean, anyways, is the Bermuda Triangle. So Bermuda is actually out ahead of that. I've gone to Cuba a few times, and when I go to Cuba, I'm always studying, I guess, all those theories around the Bermuda Triangle, Atlantis, and all those other things. There's a bunch of things that I've been researching while I'm there. Do you think that has anything to do with the port at all? With it being so close to the triangle?
Well, probably it has some effect, you know, because I was reading this article the other day about that region being the city of Atlantis. Like, the Atlantis was that region, which kind of blew my mind. And a lot of old folklore will blow your mind if I start talking. You know,
you're in a safe place, bud. Yes. This is the best place to blow minds.
Let's go. Let's go.
What is it? What do you got? Let's go.
They even had old stories of you call them river mothers, like mermaids. It's, you know, that's been left over from the past, but they come out once in a while. You know, it used to be bizarre hearing the people talk about it back in the days, but you know, like growing now, I started doing the maths with the Bermuda Triangle. In fact, that old region is a part of the triangle, you know, and yeah. A lot of energy forces that pulls things together or, you know, make things happen, you know, a lot of energy you can develop, you know. Sometimes I'm not even going to go too crazy. I was wondering, you know.
Do it.
You know, you notice that we have a lot of sprinters in back home. Look at Usain Bolt. He run, man. That's it's impossible, man. 9.58. You know, I wonder if this the gravity there sometimes have to do with why we create such good athletes there as well. You know,
nothing in the water.
In the water, or it's just the energy force, man. You can tap into the energy out there.
That's true though, man. Like Usain Bolt, like that defies logic. How fast that guy can run.
Yeah. Growing up, I was an athlete, and we used to talk about times, and this time we said any day somebody run that and he did it. You know, any day someone can capable of running 9.58, man, it's a phenomenon that I don't think anybody in this time will ever break that record.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't see it, but didn't see that happening either.
Yeah, but... Yeah, lots of paranormal activities in that region. I haven't encountered any paranormal activities while I'm here in Canada.
It's no?
Kind of strange. No. But back home, I had a couple of encounters, you know, a couple of encounters that it, you know, back home, you know, like with, you're not allowed to kill certain animals, like certain stuff. If you kill them, the night expect some shadows passing.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
That's the closest I've ever come to it, you know, when I was younger.
Huh. I'm surprised that you haven't experienced anything on Manitoulin. I feel like there's probably some good stories there.
I heard there was a spotting of a cryptid the other day, but it turned out to be a bobcat, so I don't know.
Okay.
All right.
Why did you think it was a cryptid? A cryptid, as you say. Cryptid.
The person couldn't pinpoint what type of animal it was, you know?
Okay.
The person said the animal looked a bit like half dog, half pig. So.
Wow. And for sure it was a bobcat?
That's what came back, you know?
The new theory. It's funny that you mentioned cryptids because there's a question on there about cryptids.
Yeah, here we go here. Marley Diamond says, what are some places you guys would suggest to study or see cryptids or stuff like that?
Manitoulin Island.
There you go, Manitoulin Island. Look at that. You answer that question, you know, it's like you telepathically, you know, you knew she was asking that.
Hilarious.
It seems like we should do a study down here, right?
Let's go.
Well, let's go visit. She adds on to here, says Manitoulin Island is part of a migratory route for Sasquatch. I was told it passes through the Lacloque Mountains.
That's cool.
Well, there you go. So let's bring Tessa to Manitoulin Island and let's go search for Sasquatch.
Let's go.
Let's go squatching.
Yeah.
We're not supposed to say that.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
We have another question from our YouTube. It's kind of off the cuff. You see that one, Jamie?
Yeah.
You can. So it kind of goes another way. This guy says, "I have had a handful of abductees I'm dealing with, some extreme contact. How many in your study?" So I'm assuming that question is directed towards you, Delroy. Have you studied or have you encountered anyone who's claimed to be abducted by maybe an extraterrestrial or something like that?
In my studies, I met one person in Montreal. A trip a while ago, and they felt that they were abducted from the hospital in Montreal.
Wow.
They said they felt they had an out of body experience, but it didn't felt normal to them, you know. I will try to get a hold of that person, and I didn't go in depth, you know. The person showed me a couple of strange pictures. I think I sent them once to you, Ryan.
Okay.
Montreal. Yeah, I don't know if you still have it.
I do have. I think I have a report or two from you too. I haven't. I have to pull out the file.
Yeah.
Interesting.
She was saying that they probably still after her. So I was a bit, you know, sorry. I was a bit alarmed, but I was saying the hospital. You know, hospital.
Yeah.
That she felt. So I thought it was like a out of body experience. That was my conclusion.
Okay. Well, that's also possible too. Like that's consciousness. Like that's consciousness too, right? You know, thinking. We don't know where the mind goes. What was she in the hospital for in the first place?
I think she had a sprained ankle or something like that.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was a fracture. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Must some heavy drugs then put her out, and then you never know.
And that's the thing with these drugs too, you know, it's a form of, you know, that drug that I think, you know, the shamans use some form of
ayahuasca
to get out of the body and travel. Because I think in outer space, we can't use this physical shell we have right here, you know.
Well, creating that type of drug to induce that type of habit is also alchemy. Medicine is alchemy. That's right. You see how the mysticism, you know, all these people make fun of us Masons for knowing all these things, but we're just doing all the things that happen in the world just kind of creatively and cool in our basements wearing robes.
Yeah, well, you know what, even beer started from alchemy.
Yeah,
liquor.
We just did it. They just did it in private because it was prohibited for anyone lesser than the most important people to be able to have these great things.
Yeah.
As soon as they got the recipe or the instructions, they just did it. But because they couldn't afford to purchase it, they made it. But yeah. They did it in secret because they weren't supposed to have it.
Yeah.
And the rich kept it. You know, it's like the cure for cancer. If we figure that out, then we could make it. Until then, mm-hmm. They have it.
Yeah, they have it. They have a theory. Mistletoe and vitamin C. A
lot of kisses.
A lot of kisses. Yeah, a lot of kisses and oranges.
Kisses and oranges.
Yes, sir.
So, do you have any questions, Jamie, at all?
No, man, none I can think of. This Argo has got me thinking a lot, though.
Okay.
Just I'm super curious as to these extreme contact. Like we're gonna have to, I need to know more about this.
Yeah, Argo, if you're still with us in this virtual seance, can you Well, no, it sounds like that, you know. Hey, if you're still with us,
oh, gotcha.
Are you there? Say something. But no, add gotcha. More details in the comments, and then we'll elaborate on that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I kind of wanted to go back to the, I guess Jamaica. That's your origin, right? That's yes, where it's yes. originally from. So what is the key? I guess. The way the civilization came about, are there any stories or are there any evolutionary event that might lead into some paranormal or ufologist or any type of mysticism on the island, you know, like what is the culture around?
We're deeply mixed with the African and the Aboriginal culture.
Okay.
Jamaica was once inhabited by the Arawak Indian.
Okay.
They came down during the Ice Ages, you know, from up north, came down to Mexico, and then some branched off to Jamaica, Cuba, and Haiti. So, you know, there was a lot of, they had their own mysticism, you know. They did a lot of sacrifices, they did a lot of different type of stuff, you know. And then the Spanish came with a little bit of Christianity, and then my ancestors, Africans, they came with their bit of mysticism as well, which is it varied off into three. We had Obia, Voodoo,
yeah,
form of mysticism, Rastafarianism,
yeah,
that's a form of mysticism, and the next one called Kumina, it's a form of mysticism. You know, it's where in those religions, it goes right back to spiritual possession, you know, that's the main factor, spiritual possession. And that's one phenomenon, that's a phenomenal type of thing that people can't understand, even talk to know. In Haiti, they mm-hmm. made a great contribution towards to alchemy, the alchemy community, the drug market. Mm. He created a drug that could make you see, make people, it's like you could, it's used in a lot of surgery. Like, you know, it's like people become in a zombie state, but you can feel everything. People will think the person is clinically dead, but they're not dead. You know,
like, and that, bath salts?
Alchemy. Eh?
Like bath salts? That, like, whatever that was?
No.
It's, remember that
it's from a fish, yeah. A fish, and something from a tree, it's grinded together, yeah. But it's the medical community also took it. They also took that recipe, that formula, and it's used in a lot of surgery, which I've investigated and found out. You know, a lot of surgeries it's been used, you know, as a anesthetic.
Cool.
So zombies. Like the zombies started in Haiti, is it not? Like that type of
yes, it's a state of person thing is clinically dead, but they're not dead.
Okay. Yeah, and how did
anesthetics that they
anesthetic? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I was trying to find I know I studied a lot when I was in Cuba, and Cuba's to the left of Jamaica. So basically in the same spot. The silver peso dollar bill. I'm trying to find his name. Oh yeah, Jose Marti. Did you know? Marti. Yeah. Yes. Did you? So he was. Let me just want to fact check this here. He was a poet, writer, philosopher, but he was also the leader of Cuba. At the very beginning, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was a Freemason.
Yes, he was a Mason. Yes.
So Cuba was founded on Freemasonry as well through the Christopher. Actually, when I was there, there was a statue of Christopher Columbus, and then beside it was a Masonic hall. We were on a tour. I broke the tour, went over into the Masonic hall. Turned out it was a post office. Asked them, "Hey, what's going on upstairs?" And they had no idea what I was talking about. But then the tour guide, who was mad at me because I went off the tour. Asked why I would go in there, and he handed me that dollar, that peso, that actual, the Cuban money,
yes.
And told me that Jose Marti was the revolutionary guy, for Cuba.
Yes.
Being so close to Jamaica, Is there any significant leaders in like the founder of Jamaica, I guess, you know, in Freemasonry?
Yes, majority. You look back at a pirate, Henry Morgan. He was a pirate. He was a Freemason.
Okay.
I think majority of the, I can't pinpoint because in Jamaica it's so secretive, yeah. But I know him for sure. But we didn't have any significant revolutionary, and that was Mason in Jamaica. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I would have to, that's a topic I should research that. Never encountered.
No worries. So we're actually.
We're over time, but that's all right. We'll take a couple of minutes.
Yeah, we're over time.
Let's get into a couple of these questions.
We'll get some questions.
The Freemason superstars for sure is
okay. Yeah, so
there's some good ones there. She's referring to Dan Aykroyd in that for sure, which I don't know. I had never heard that he was a Mason.
I don't know. Aykroyd's not a Mason, is he?
I don't think he is, and I think she's only guessing because of the vodka skull. I think is the reason.
I don't think Aykroyd's a Mason.
But who knows?
Let's Google.
Yeah, we'd have to research.
We'll check into that. We'll check into that for you. But you do. There is plenty of, I guess, Freemason superstars, right? There's been a number of presidents, a number of pretty like iconic people.
Yes.
Yeah. Kramer from Seinfeld. He's a 33rd degree Freemason.
I don't know if you'd want to put him on the superstar level there.
What about Colonel Sanders, Kentucky yes. Fried Chicken? He's a 33rd degree Freemason. He's also a Shriner.
Yeah.
Even, so it depends on what you want to call a superstar. There are some theories out there that it's quite possible that Jesus was a Mason, but that would mean that he was a man and not a god. So it depends on your belief system.
I have one thing to pitch out there too. You know, just came up on this document that I don't know. It's you know what we are we call it above the under the tin file.
Yeah, beyond the tin file.
Okay.
They said they have an order in France. I think they call the order of Mary Magdalene. And they were saying the arrival when she arrived in France after the crucifixion. So in a nutshell, they're saying that the body was also shipped to France, and that was a final resting place. So I that's something that I'm gonna do a paper on. So I'm looking into it a lot. Probably I may have to visit.
Cool.
And find out more, you know. Something they may not tell us, but so, you know, we have to think, you know, come out the nutshell.
That's cool.
So yeah. It looks like Dan Aykroyd actually is a Mason.
Really?
Yes.
Well, there you go, Marley. Good job. Marley.
I am actually, he's, I'm trying to find his lodge because remember how you said you were drawn to him, bud?
Yeah, weird.
Weird. I got goosies right now. Commissioner McCrae, huh?
And apparently I'm related to him somehow. I gotta talk to my grandma about that.
Yeah, because we want to get him on the show.
Yeah,
definitely.
So, right on.
That's awesome. Thank you guys for keeping us busy tonight.
Very busy questions here. So, do we want to take another question, or what are we gonna do?
Well, I mean, you do have to go to a Patreon exclusive, so
So thank you guys so much for being chatty. This is great. So what we're going to do now is we're going to steal Delroy and we're going to head over to our Patreon and we're going to continue this conversation for, you know, as long as we can go, I guess, for our Patreon members. So if you're not a Patreon member, here's the website. I'm going to put that up for you guys right now. Only $7 a month, and you get to see extended content.
Exclusive.
Exclusive. Right. And that includes a 3-hour special that was aired last night on what shape the Earth is, where I debated with 3 against 1 whether or not we live on a flat surface. You'll find out the answer to that if you become a Patreon member.
So Lisa, good night, and tune in next week. Lisa will actually be on the show. She'll be our guest next week.
Is it November next week?
It sure is, man.
Lisa, we will see you next week. Good Looking night. Very and forward to having the world. You. Yes. We will not Matt Damon you. I promise you. Did you get that reference?
I do.
All right. All right. So without further ado.
Yes.
Thank you,
Delroy, first off, before we sign out. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Tim.
And I will send you the other link for the new show in a few minutes. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Argo Sanity.
That's it for another Journey into the Fringe. Thanks for joining us here on Beyond the Tinfoil Hat. Catch us next week and follow us again into the realm of mystery and unknown.
For access to the entire episode and more, head to Patreon and find us under the Experiencer Support Association. You can also follow us on Facebook on our page, the Experiencer Support Association, TESA, and on Instagram, Beyond the Tinfoil Hat.